Welcome to the latest episode of Photography Insight,
the show that interviews people from the photography world. I'm your host, Andrew Walmsley, and today we're going to look at some creative composites. For episode 137, we managed to talk with Teresa Meyer from Oregon in the USA, who produces some beautiful photo illustrations and some dreamy composites. Teresa is a skilled lady who can be seen hand-making elements in her design, including the clothing. She seems a bit of a jack-of-all-trades and can take to wood and illustration by hand too. Very gifted, and I know. I really do have to thank Jonah for the introduction too, so thank you, mate. Teresa has a variety of work, from her impressions of dreamlike montages to portraiture and self-portraiture too. You should always be on the lookout for her cats too, quite often featured in the periphery of her images. It was such a blast talking to Teresa, and we had such great fun, as she has a great and funny attitude to life. There was lots of laughter, and we even solved a few world problems. So don't forget to hang on till the end for my random questions. I did become interested in Teresa's work because of projects like Collective Intentions, where you can see like a central idea has been carried out in such a beautiful and bizarre, dreamlike way. We briefly talk about There's No Place Like Home 2, as I wondered how her partner copes with her sets and getting involved so much. And we do time travel back to her first Photoshop image 2 of her infamous cat in a great setting, so please do check that out. So in this one, we're going to discuss composites with Photoshop, expressing herself, self-portraiture, lockdown anxiety, working with your partner, stitching images, 48 by 72 inch prints, cats and pets, crafting beer, and of course there'll be links in the show notes to Teresa's website and Instagram. And if you do want to find out more about Teresa, then she's running this mobile photography course and very soon teaching through Skillshare too. So please do get logged on her website and get signed up for her newsletters. And before I move you into the interview, I will just give a quick update. And I'd like to thank Jeremy North for his donation on my Ko-fi page. It's very kind of you. Jeremy's been a listener for quite a while now, and he's always given me such lovely feedback. And we've even managed to speak as well. So, yeah, thank you, buddy. And I would encourage everyone else, you know, all donations mean a lot to me. I'm basically trying to blog and experiment with so many different things that I just can't keep by myself. Next on my list is going to be cyanotypes, and at the minute I'm playing about with developing with LIF. So I can only do this with the help of your funds, so please do help. Every pound means so much. Thank you for that, guys. And I did want to mention one of the friends of the show this week. So this week I wanted to talk about Steve at Chroma Camera, as he's built and building some really exciting technology. He's actually putting together a 6x12 roll film holder. Now the idea of this will go on the back of a 4x5 large format camera. Now just imagine that perspective. That will be amazing. And he's also working with another gentleman called Dave Walker to build electronic shutters. I mean, honestly, this is why I tell you to go check out Steve's work, because the guy's got so many ideas and he's just one man. So please do check out his line of cameras. There's some lovely large format, and he's got a lovely modular design, the 679. So yeah, there'll be links in the show notes and on the website as always. And anyone who needs their film developing, obviously check out Film Dev. And always great and affordable zines, aesthetic age. And there are just a few copies of the zine left that I've got published by Pete at Static. And these are the ones that come with my handmade prints. So please do get them now while you can. The next prints won't be sold at this price point. But let's move you on to the show. So let's play that music and await our lovely guest, Teresa. And welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely night over here. We've got a lovely night, actually. We've got sunset and beautiful skies.
Excellent.
T-shirt
It's
weather.
rain. It's raining here.
Oh,
It's hoodie weather.
okay. Something different.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to Jonah for recommending me.
No, it's really appreciated. Jonah's a absolute legend. I think he's an absolute fabulous guy.
For sure.
I love seeing his work, and I signed straight up to his newsletter, and I'd said to him, "You've put in the onus on me of writing in a journal, so I'm going to be reading yours now." And he's like, "Oh, I need to make sure it's spot on now, don't I?"
His newsletter is amazing. I love it.
It makes you think, and that's what I like. And not everyone's capable of that. I know we've all got our own interests and some things about history, but Jonah's are very different, and I like that.
I really enjoy it's very thoughtful. I mean, it's, like his work. It's just beautiful, and I mean, I always just really enjoy seeing it and reading it, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, I like the combination that because it's cyanotype, it's still chemicals and alchemy, but it doesn't need a dark room, so it's got a bit of both, isn't it? And I love that.
No, and I mean, he does such an amazing job with the cyanotypes. I'm always super impressed. And it looked like he had done one. I don't know if he's hand painting. I saw one recently. It had I believe it was a man and like maybe some lungs, but I think there was like a red heart.
Ah, yes, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And I'm
Yeah.
not sure how did he hand. Do you know? Did he hand paint that?
I think he did, yeah.
It was really cool.
I think he mentioned that one as well, yeah. Because it was interesting that he talked about there was a lot of meaning in each shot, and the framing as well had the meaning. And I'm like, wow.
No, he's incredibly intentional, and he takes it all the way through to from the beginning to the finished piece. It's really amazing work.
But then, your work is so varied. It's very, I just look at it and I'm like, there's so many different things you do with, normal portraits, and then there's like collages and digital work, conceptual stuff. There's all sorts in there.
I had started. So when I first kind of started studying photography, I discovered Photoshop and started making composites initially. And then as I went to graduate school and sort of started learning more about just all the different genres. And so I just experimented a lot with everything. But of course, always, I mean, compositing is just like my favorite. I love just making things up, really.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful thing to do.
I love to paint and illustrate, and so it's sort of just like a combination of those things to where I sort of I get to just this whole approach where I can I've got the photography that I still love to do, and then I can sort of make these illustrations, these photo illustrations. So it's a good blend for me.
Yeah, because for me, they are just the same thing, you know, whether you're drawing comics, you're drawing pictures, you're doing flower painting or whatever, it's just using a different technology to create something.
It is. I mean, I really enjoy the sort of duality of taking a medium that's, you know, supposed to represent something real and the truth, and then creating something completely fantastical that's not real at all. So it's sort of that those competing ideas I find really fascinating.
It's just
a way to sort of tether it, you know, in this time and, you know, now in reality. But then also to sort of discuss, you know, using the composites as a way to discuss metaphors and sort of feelings, emotions, just the intangible stuff.
No, it's a good way. And it's like we were saying earlier, isn't it, that this is a great way for you to express your feelings and thoughts and life and experiences without actually, you know, holding up a card or writing a letter or standing there with a certain frown or whatever, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
And it's you, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, so I primarily do self-portraiture. I work with other people too. I have a series with my partner. And I enjoy working that way. I enjoy working alone. It's super cathartic for me. And we were talking earlier about how I sort of need to be in motion to process through ideas. And that's just kind of how I think of things. So it works out well.
No, that's good. Do you actually argue with yourself then at times?
I mean, who knows what's going on in there?
Well, my daughter said to me the other night, I was trying to set up DSLR scanning, and I was having a bit of, I don't have any proper equipment. And I was like, right, what can I use? I've got a piece of glass here, right. Go get the lamp out of your bedroom. Right, let's try that. Right, we need some paper here to diffuse the light. Right, and I started talking to myself, and my daughter was like, "Daddy, you never talk to yourself." And I went, "Yeah, no. Sometimes you've got to, though."
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When you start working through stuff, it's just like,
yeah,
right. It's helpful.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't do it in the day. You know, when I'm helping people with their computer problems and stuff. I'm talking to a person, so it's weird why I would just suddenly start talking to myself in a way, but there you go. Humans, eh?
Yeah, right.
It's very strange. Now, one question, I think, we'll get back to like your first photo, because I really like that one. Do you think in the last year, because obviously what's happened in the world, do you think that's changed any of your images or ideas?
So I made a series shortly after, like when we were in lockdown, when lockdown started. And it was, you know, for me, it was just kind of a way to release some anxiety and sort of process through, you know, what I was seeing on the news and what I was reading. Yeah. I really was working in the exact same way. Okay. So, you know, that's generally how I get a lot of my ideas, from reading or just kind of what's happening currently. A lot of times I'm quite influenced by nature. The images aren't necessarily about nature. I mean, they are, and they're about other things too. But it's generally something that is happening, you know, something's going extinct, or just some occurrence that, for whatever reason, will pique my interest, and then I research it more, and then it somehow becomes visual in the work. So with COVID, I created the series There's No Place Like Home. So I'm also very influenced by fairy tales. I love stories, and sort of the structures will weave their way into the work too. And that's, for me, that's a way to make them accessible to other people, to make it more universal, because everyone knows fairy tales. It's just like around the world, they're the same structure, the same stories at their core, even though they're, you know, told differently. You know, it's like Star Wars is the hero's journey, and there's movies all, you know, books, movies all over the world that are that format.
Yeah.
Even though they're different stories, they're at their core, they're the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I rely on that to sort of construct these little stories and narratives. So as I was, you know, sort of watching the news and just like super stunned by, you know, what's happening, and I just started rearranging things in the house and pulling out costumes and making imagery. You know, there was one, you know, like there was like COVID passed to a tiger. I think that was like the first animal that they were like, oh, it can't, you can pass it to animals. Yeah. I can't quite remember the headline.
Yeah, there was tiger a couple on there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, tigers worked their way into the imagery. So just different things like that where, for me, it was just a way to kind of work through it and keep busy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a common story amongst artists, professional artists like yourself. Yeah, because you've got to. And it's an interesting take on being in a lockdown environment, that in effect you're forced to create something that maybe you haven't got your normal places to escape to as well.
Right.
So you've got to use other means, which is always, I think it'll always help create in some ways.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I've actually always liked working in my house. So even that wasn't super different. I mean, you know, I had no option, but I've always kind of enjoyed, I mean, you know, an empty room is always like, it's like, you know, just like a blank canvas. It's like, okay, what can I do in here?
But that's it. That's great. Whereas, you know, someone else might say, oh, it's just a boring room. It's the same walls again.
So it's, you know, luckily my partner is okay with me like constantly like just rearranging the house. I'm gonna empty all the furniture out of this room today, okay? It's just gonna be empty for a bit.
It doesn't ever come home and worry like, hang on a second, do I check my bags are still in the right place?
I don't know. I think he's just accepted it. You know, I'll hang stuff from the ceiling, I'll do different things. It's like, okay, sure.
Because I think if you were a casual observer and you didn't know you better or looked at your work more in depth, you could look at them images, No Place Like Home, and you'd be like, she's either hiring the same model and they've got a very good rapport, or my guess is, without doubt, it has to be your partner.
Yeah. Yep.
It seemed to work that it is your partner as well.
Yeah, he doesn't mind. He's very accommodating. He's not really interested in sort of like participating or being a part of it necessarily, but he's very accommodating and like, okay, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to stand? What do I have to wear?
Oh, it's got to that point now, has it?
Yeah, he's just like, okay, come on, how much longer do I have to stand here? I've almost got it, just don't move.
I mean, because obviously what I really liked was the wide format. So is that multiple shots stitched?
Yeah. So when I started my thesis project, actually, I'm working with an older Nikon, and I wanted, so it's a collective inventions series. I wanted to create prints that were really big. I wanted these prints that sort of like when you saw them, they enveloped you and you were just like now sort of immersed in the world that I had created. Yeah. So it was really important to me that they be big, but I didn't have a large format or a medium format camera. So I started stitching, you know, I would take like, it's usually around like 50 shots wow. that I'm stitching together. Yeah. So I had a Mac at the time and I like maxed it out on memory and RAM and all that. I like, you know, pulled off the cover and installed more hard drives. And I ended up like, you know, I pushed it to its limits and sometimes I'd wait like, you know, I had to wait like an hour for everything to like stitch together. And then if you know, wanted to like move something, a transform could take like 45 minutes. So essentially I kind of got stuck in my own creation. But my partner luckily is a software engineer and he built me a custom computer. So now I have this huge beast of a computer that I call Thor. And I can just composite to my heart's content. So
cool.
I'd kind of, you know, figured out that process of how to get everything to stitch together in a way that I wanted. So for that work, I was making these prints that were 48 inches by 72 inches.
Cool.
So they're big. And then for the There Is No Place Like Home series, I was working in such a tight space that I had to use a 50 millimeter lens. That was the widest angle lens I had. And then as I started doing it, I realized it sort of created this fishbowl effect, which I really liked for that series because, you know, that's just kind of how it felt like we're in this.
Yeah, because you wouldn't do, aren't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it worked out.
Oh, it totally works. Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, even on a small screen that you're in the room and I feel like I'm moving left and right to get the whole picture in as well, because there's what I loved as well is there's multiple things and there's little funny things in there, which is obviously what I picked up on about there's always a cat or something.
So I've always had a cat. For most of my life, I guess. When I was about 10, I got Tigger, and he's the big fluffy cat in the red hallway. Mm-hmm. And he ended up living a really long time. He didn't die until I was 30. So wow, I had him most of my life. Yeah. My mom got concerned when he was getting quite old, and so she got me two new cats. I was like, okay. So I've just kind of always had a cat. I mean, Tigger, so since I'd had him for so long, I mean, he was just like super important to me. And it was natural to sort of include him in the story at that time. And so it's just kind of, I've just continued to do it. They're around, they're a part of it. And actually, they really like being in the photos. they get excited when I get my tripod out. They love going outside and like setting stuff up and playing. And you know, for the most part, I just kind of have to wait to get them in the right position.
Yeah.
I don't force them to do anything.
Sign a contract.
And a lot of times, I'll be photographing and they'll just kind of walk in. So typically I still work with a timer. And a lot of times they just show up at the exact right moment when the timer goes off. So that's always kind of fun to see what happens, what they're going to do. But I do have a remote now. So, but sometimes I still just, I'm like, use a timer, see what happens.
Yeah. I like that. I think it's fun because it's human personality, isn't it? And that's what it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
And as well as the vision, I mean, the other thing obviously is there's some work goes in here. So the image I've talked about here for our listeners. So there's your partner on the other side of the room looking down, and it looks like you're sat up on like a, what would you call that?
It's like the cabinet.
Like a cabinet, yeah. Sort of waist level cabinet, and then there's some like butterfly wings on the wall, which I believe you made.
I did. So the longer I've sort of been working, the more, I guess, mixed media it's become. Like I said, I love fabricating things. I love painting and illustrating. And so it's just been, I've made a lot of the props in the imagery, to like, I do woodworking. So some of the furniture or just different things, in the imagery I've made. And that's, I need that sort of, like hands-on work. It's pretty, I have to do it. So it's a nice balance where I get to like fabricate and construct things with my hands. And then, you know, I set up the shop with the photography, and then I take it into Photoshop. So it ends up being a nice sort of balance of different aspects of creation that I can integrate everything and then, get the final image. And I started sewing. So I sew a lot of the costumes too.
Wow.
I'm not very good though, but it only has to be good enough to be photographed. So a lot of the costumes aren't exactly wearable.
Oh, okay.
You can just hide that element. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did make a skirt that I could wear. So I was pretty proud of myself for that.
I think that's super talented though. If you can do all that as well, that's it. And I love that you've put that on your website as well. It's nice to see someone having that interest and care in their own work.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'm just super happy that I've kind of found a way that I can integrate everything that I love to do. It works out really well for me.
Yeah, I mean, I love them set of images. They're just so nice, you know, so involved, and I like the dream sort of thing, and it's such a different take on a normal living room or a normal kitchen or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun kind of seeing what I can make happen in the house or just any, setting. I mean, it's just, it's fun to just let your imagination wander. I mean, I see a meadow and I'm like, oh man, what can I put in there? Like, what can this become? So it's just the Photoshop in that regard has been really amazing for me. Just, what can I actually fabricate?
I think it's limitless in that sense, isn't it? It's just literally creativity, isn't it?
It really is. So it's it keeps it interesting for me, for sure.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I mean, obviously, the cat, like you say, your first cat is very important, and I think that's a really interesting image. I mean, there's no way I would say that's your first ever image as well, because it could be like I don't know. It gets sort of got that it's in the wrong way, like a vibe of like The Shining or something.
Yeah,
could be really scary, but it could be like Labyrinth or something from Fantasy World.
Mm-hmm. That building was where I lived, and it was this old historic building in Portland, Oregon. It had those red carpets and just like all the old moldings, and the walls were actually literally bulging just because it was such an old building and like how it had settled and stuff. I also photoshopped it and exaggerated that, but it was totally inspired by the building, I guess. So that was a fun building to work in. And those images, that set of imagery, because it was my first time working in Photoshop, they definitely have more of like a cutout collage feel, because I wasn't, my masking skills were not the same as they are now. I was approaching it differently. So it was interesting that how it worked out. And sort of, it's just, I think sort of the, like, when you don't know the rules and then you make these things that are different in such a way that it ends up working out. It was kind of what happened with that series, I think. Like, I didn't quite know how to use Photoshop. and that's what happened. And it's actually, yeah, it's one of my most popular images.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I can understand that, though. And I think some things are naturally more appealing and people forget. I think cats and dogs especially are.
Yeah, pets. Come on. Everybody loves pets.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I think it's just nice to see you doing so much. I mean, like, if you're... like hand stitching and all this though, what are you doing with all your ideas? Are you coming up with an idea for the photo first, or is it an element, or is it a background, or something in the foreground? How's that sort of idea work?
So ideas are constant, and it's mm-hmm. You know, I read a lot, so I get a lot of ideas from literature. Neil Gaiman, actually.
Okay.
His books really, I don't know, it's just how he writes, but when I read his books, like, I get all sorts of visual ideas. So just different, you know, and I think that's kind of it, just like making sure I'm experiencing different things and not staying in one place or not staying stagnant or not doing the same thing over and over again. And then just as I keep a sketchbook, and a journal, so I'll sketch out ideas, and then, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, like, okay, like, I need these elements for this idea. And so sometimes it can take, you know, a year or more, just because I'm not necessarily, it's not like I need to get it done, like, with the personal work, you know, I don't need to get it done right now. And, you know, so as I find the elements that I need for the image, you know, I photograph them. So some, you know, that's why I sketch them, so I don't forget. So I sketch stuff out, I think about what I need to get, and either, you know, I can go get it and get it done right away, or sometimes, you know, I think I looked for a rusty swing set for like a year and a half. And I ended up finding it in my friend's backyard. I was like, how did I never notice this before?
Oh my God. I'm
looking for this. So it's kind of funny. I mean, I always do find it eventually. It's kind of interesting how it works out. But it can take some time. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, I've got friends and family, just people that know about my work and what I'm doing. It's kind of funny. People are always picking things up for me or finding stuff for me now too, so that's fun too. Like, oh, I thought you'd like this. I'm like, ooh, I do like that. I'm for you. Thank you.
You're that friend, as they would say. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's especially fun if they've gone on a shoot with me. I went camping with a friend, two friends, and one had been in a photograph before. She knew what was happening. So we're, you know, loading stuff into the car for this camping trip, and I'm taking mirrors and windows and, you know, different chairs and things. And my other friend's like, I thought we were going camping. It's like, yeah, yeah. She's like, do we really need all that? And my other friend's like, just let her, she knows what she's doing. Just let her bring it. Let her bring whatever she wants. I was like, yeah, bring whatever I want. So she was just like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? So we get out there and we start making some photos, and she got super into it. She absolutely fell in love with the whole process. And she was like, oh, now I understand. This is fun. She's like, she keeps asking, when can we do it again?
Oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing, though, about photography. As we were saying earlier, if you can involve other people, they might understand your passion, and they actually might suit being the subject, or they might have a skill that you could use.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always fun getting people on sets, and especially adults, getting adults in costumes. Because once people start, they it's fun and they enjoy it, and it's really fun to see an adult like go from sort of suspicious of what's happening to like engaging and having a really good time. So
I think that's kind of
the art right there.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, it's something you've got to do, and there's enough time for being serious and having laughs and stuff with other places, but for them to see your process and your work, I think that's a great thing. It really is.
Yeah, it's fun for sure.
And it's like I was saying, you know, earlier offline, when I was talking to Reza about, I had my friend Jay Good, some of the listeners will know Jay, in my dark room for the first time. And, you know, he's done similar composite work, but he's done a lot of retouching and a lot of working with models. And I think he's one of the best digital photographers I know. And, you know, not just because he's a friend. And getting him in my environment was really interesting. And one thing he said was he actually learned a bit about photography that I didn't realize, which I found quite interesting, because like I was talking about, you know, like when you're using enlargers and using filters for contrasting.
Yeah.
So it was like, have you not used filters before? And as a digital photographer, you don't really need to, because you can just edit it, really.
Right.
And I went, but that's what a red filter does, you know, it'll block out red light, for instance, and, you know, a yellow filter can enhance your contrast and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, then you'll understand how this affects the print. So I said, this stuff makes me think about how I shoot. So I can actually adjust how I take an image, because I know the end process now. And he was like, God, this is amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice thing that, you know, you can get together and you can enjoy each other's stuff, because, you know, I've done so much digital work with models with him, and we always have a laugh. I always say to any of the models I work with, I will get a shot of you laughing and smiling. That's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, play is so important. And as adults, we kind of forget and we kind of let that go. Mm-hmm. And that's something in my work that I really try, that I strive for, honestly. And even when, you know, putting together gallery exhibits, like, I've been trying to figure out, like, I would like to make one interactive, because I think it's super important. Like, you know, it's good to go in and, you know, you look and you appreciate the work, but I like to get people engaged in the work, and I think that in that aspect, like if you get someone actually doing something with it, they understand it in a different way. I've seen it, you know, like when making the work, like you get the person engaged and then suddenly they're curious, like, well, so what are we doing? Like, what is this exactly? And they want to know more. And I feel like in a like an exhibition setting, that can also happen, to where if you get them engaged, then they're going to get a little more curious and have a little more of an emotional connection with the work. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all about play. It's just like, I think it's super important.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's such a nice thing to do, I think, to enjoy each other's company in that sense. You're in a different environment. Learning different skill sets is never a bad thing.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something different, isn't it? So it's nice to play, isn't it? So
yeah, it is.
And obviously, one of the other things we have to talk about is beer.
Yeah, I know. we have so much good beer here. It's amazing. It's just, I mean, it's like a craft beer mecca.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have breweries for days. It's great. Wow. Yeah, yeah. What, so is it similar over there? Do you have a lot of craft beer?
Yeah, we do. Over here it's probably more microbrewers than anything.
Same thing.
The industry is very different, isn't it? Let's face it. Your main supermarkets and places like that all sell the same things, basically, don't they?
Great.
So we've got a few here. I'm quite lucky. I've got one just across the river from me, which is about, I don't know, 10 to 15 miles. And I really like their ale. And I'm in their delivery zone for free as well. So that's quite nice. Handy. And it's, you know, a very small business. They do weddings on site because they've got a nice barn and a sort of farm sort of thing. Nice. But it's something I've only sort of gotten into, I think, in the last 3 years.
Really?
Again, it's getting older that I'm developing my tastes and things. So.
Okay. Gosh, I mean, so I guess when I was younger, in my 20s, it just really kind of exploded. So it's just, I've always had access to just really good beer, and there's just like more and more and more as I've gotten older. And then my brother started brewing it. So I go brew with him every once in a while. So it's pretty fun. So yeah, I get to brew it too. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm very jealous.
He's gotten very good at it. He makes really good IPAs. I mean, most of his beer now is very good. But when he first started, we were very experimental. And, we had kegs of beer that was, we drank it, don't worry.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate it, yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. It's super fun. And it's been fun just to have, you know, just more and more microbreweries pop up constantly and be able to just, I mean, and that, you know, to watch them experiment more and more. I had a beer the other day that had gin in it, I think. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was super good. I was like, it never would have occurred to me, but
yeah. It is. It's quite freaky, some of the things into it. And I literally sort of like go through the aisles, even in supermarkets, and I'm like, right, I've tried that. I get something new. And my friends are always like, where do you get this stuff from? And it's like, well, I'm not boring. Like, the same people drink the same things all the time. I want to try everything, and then I'll decide what I like.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think in some ways I've changed a little bit where there's been a couple of unique things out there. One of them is a brewery who only use things like bread and crumpets. Spare ones. So, you know, the bakers that I've got left. And it's called Toast Ale.
Oh.
Very unique. I think they're onto, you know, fantastic marketing thing there. What they've got, pale ale, I think there's a session IPA, and then I think there's two lagers that they do. And then they've started working the odd time with major bread companies. They've worked with like a tea company, so they've done some weird tea inside it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's lovely. And I've bought a couple of theirs, and I've mentioned them online and said, I really love what you're doing. I think it's fab because it's ethical as well, isn't it?
Right.
Very good for the environment. So I thought that was very unique. And I tried, there's a company over here doing 0%. So it's cider, lager, and pale ale. I don't think they've got an IPA yet.
Okay.
And I was interested to see what it was like because I thought, you know, in the week, I sometimes want to drink, but I'm not going to drink alcohol. And do you know what? It was lovely.
Nice. Good.
And the cider is exactly like cider. I was like, and I passed it to my wife and went, just try that. And she went, that's cider. I went, it ain't, look. So I was like, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something you got to think about, isn't it? As you get older, you know, weight loss is something we have to think about, right, and being healthier. So, it's a balance.
Yeah, exactly. Moderation. So that's fortunate you found that. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too badly priced, and they've got it in one supermarket chain as well, so I might be able to get it while I'm out. Because obviously, the biggest problem getting beer is like getting it posted is it's so expensive.
Yeah, we actually are able to do growlers. You can take a jug in, like a gallon jug or five, I don't know. And they'll fill it for you, and then you take home.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. So you can go down to the brewery, have a pint, and then take a whole growler of it home.
That's different, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of that goes on. I think the only thing they do is, I think if you take your bottles back, you get one free after so many bottles. But yeah, there's none of that. I think sometimes there's a little bit of different cultures, isn't there? That's all.
Yeah. Oregon had, you know, liquor control laws, but we've always been able to do growlers. I'm not quite sure why. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah.
What sort do you like then?
I'm an IPA fan.
Okay.
I do love stouts, but I usually can't drink them as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I also really love the hazies. Mm-hmm. Those have been big recently. I've been getting into ciders lately. So mm-hmm. I'm drinking a lot of those. But yeah, primarily IPAs. It's my favorite.
I like IPA. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have you tried like the grapefruit and things like that then?
I do. You know, I love I actually really like grapefruit. I like that bitterness in there. I mean, I don't like it too fruity.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. Seems pointless.
Yeah. And typically like if it has sort of a lot going on, it's like one, you know, even like saisons, like I'll enjoy a saison, but probably just one. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, just a good, nice hopped IPA.
There's some really interesting choices of things in them now. I mean, I tried a sour one. And I was like, about this. And I've had it in my fridge for ages and ages. And I'm like, I'm running out. I've literally got no cans left. Right. I'm going to have to try it. And yeah. It was nice. I was really, really surprised.
I really liked the sours. Mm. Yeah. I don't
think you could drink a lot of them, though. So I think it's too much.
Exactly. It's again where it's like, you know, just a bit. And then. Which is, you know, it's almost better. Like you just have a little and you're good. And Yeah.
I think it's been another thing I really enjoyed doing and tasting a lot of different ones. I don't get drunk and drink too much or anything like that. Everything's moderation. Yeah. So it's enjoyable. And I like finding companies and looking after them and, you know, I think that's something we can do now, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
They're just the same as us out there, so.
Yeah.
Most of them anyway. And I love some of the artwork. One of them I loved in the States.
On the cans?
Yeah, clown shoes.
Yes, I have seen
those.
Oh
my God,
they're nuts.
They're
totally nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, the artwork on cans is always super fun to look at. The 16-ounce cans, they seem like they've gotten super creative with those. I can't remember now. A treehouse on the East Coast has some pretty good ones. But yeah, a lot of them. And I love that they're hiring local artists to do it too.
That's good.
Yeah, a lot of places are doing that now where it's, or although, you know, they have sort of like an open submission. So you just kind of send them some artwork and they'll feature it on a can. So that's great. I love those collaborations.
Well, I think the world's a different place in that sense, isn't it? A bit of business has changed for small companies now.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's probably not going anywhere because obviously the medium-sized companies are now big and the big companies now are gigantic.
yeah, right.
It's happening everywhere. I mean, this morning I heard about Amazon bought out MGM.
Oh, really?
And it's like, oh, God.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Because obviously the Disney already own the other big movie studio. So it's like, you know, the world's getting smaller in this sense. It's just done by bigger and bigger companies, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what chance has the little guys got now? It's tough for them, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And over here, it's been really tough for brewing companies because obviously pubs have only just opened 2 weeks ago.
So. Yeah, I know. You know, some of them were able to do, you know, the outdoor seating and stuff, but I'm curious as to how many actually made it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are owned and leased by the breweries over here. So it's like they don't actually own anything because there's a couple running it or whatever. And, you know, the pricing's all related to how much they order and all this sort of stuff. So it's like, it's so different. It's not like this is my pub, this is what I want to sell this week. But I think it's going to go to that style soon.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Yeah. Hopefully we still have our brewers.
God, I hope so, yeah.
Right.
Oh, without a doubt. I love it. There is a really good thing over here. We have a supermarket that's a cooperative in theory. So it's not everywhere. And they do a little shelf where they have local beers. And they're very reasonably priced. And it's really good. I can go buy like my favorite from there. And I think it's a great thing that they do.
Yeah. I like cooperatives too. That is nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, I think we're through the formal part of the interview there, Teresa. So it is now time to put you through my random questions. Are you ready? Because you've listened to Jonas, haven't you? So
I did. I am ready.
Yeah, you're a creative. You've got this, no problem. It's just coming up with things because obviously, at the time, you don't always know everyone. But as you go along, you think, nah, this will definitely work. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. So, your first one, right? You decide to go out for the day and have room for one of the following in your bag. Do you take A, lotion that will make you invisible, 2, spray-on look, or 3, a roll-on that improves your memory?
Or I could be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last one?
And memory, you can just roll it on and remember things.
You can remember everything.
But like, everything has a finite time because obviously spray runs out, a roll-on will wear out.
Right.
And a lotion would, so.
And how long am I going out for? Is this a day outing?
Yeah, day outing, yeah.
Day outing. Okay. I get to go anywhere I want?
Yeah. This is Teresa's fantasy world, you see.
Yeah. If I was invisible, then I could definitely go anywhere I wanted.
So but what if it ran out within a minute?
Oh, I don't know how long it doesn't last for the whole day. It just I have no idea how long it's going to last for.
Exactly, because do you know how long lotion lasts?
Gosh, mine does not seem to last that long.
So I suppose you could just keep rubbing it in and in and in and in.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go invisible. I'm going to go get into something.
Yeah.
Take my chances.
No, I like that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, due to central heating changes in the law, you are now no longer allowed to use bath water. You are allowed to use one of the following: Coke, eggnog, or vodka.
Ugh, vodka. No brainer.
Drink and bathe at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is that just normal anyway?
Yeah. Isn't that what everyone does in the bath?
Yeah. We've got to get our rules changed, haven't we, obviously?
Yeah, you know what? I actually have made sangria in the tub before. College.
Okay. College has a lot to answer for you, doesn't it?
It might.
That's not a bad thing, though.
You know, we needed a lot of sangria.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone bathed in it, but...
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? I think a lot of people have said things like, my wife loves lemonade. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like custard, isn't it? Baked beans is the thing every year you do for charity. If you want to raise some money, go have a bath of baked beans. It's, oh, custard or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's not the same thing, is it?
If they use vodka, they would raise way more money.
Exactly, yeah. Everyone would be interested, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's clear, so what would you know?
Yeah, clearly we should be in charge.
There you go. First rule when we get in power, that's sorted. Right, that's good.
Vodka baited, yeah.
Well, here's another creative one for you. This is definitely something you might invent. So, new wallpaper has been invented, and it provides the aroma of what is on the wallpaper.
Oh, so kind of like a scratch and sniff, but you don't have to scratch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would be on your wall?
Oh. I mean, does it smell all the time or just when I scratch
it? Yeah, it's literally infinite. I mean, it's guaranteed.
All the time. I think I would go with like a cedary fir tree scent. So it's I'm outside.
So it feels like you're outside. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Because wood is amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually.
Like Christmas tree scent, whatever. Is that a fir? I think it's usually
fir tree. Yeah, that'd be right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good answer. Because I think, if you add something out too normal and fruity or whatever, I think it'd overpower and you'd get annoyed with it.
Yeah, you don't want to, lose your favorite scent just because you end up smelling it. Like, I love coconut, but if I had to smell it all the time, would I still love it? It's a dangerous road.
Maybe we've invented something to cure people who like chocolate. Imagine that. The only smell of chocolate, you'd never go near it.
It's true.
I'm going to trademark that idea in the morning.
We've cured food addiction.
We've sorted it. Anything, haven't it? Stick it on your wall. Why has no one thought of this before?
$1 million idea.
Brilliant. Love it. Okay. Well, I'll give you an easy one this time then. So, summarize life in 3 words.
Oh,
I'll give you a minute. It's fine.
Life in 3 words. Fun. Uh Gosh, this is tough.
Mm-hmm. You can't say death and taxes either.
Okay, that's out.
That'd be my gosh.
Answer. Oh my gosh, it's overwhelming.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Surprising.
That's a good one.
And I think I'm just gonna go with joy. Yeah, those three words were my life, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good thing to pass on to someone, isn't it? Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's cool. Your next one then. So, would you rather meet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Doolittle, or Doctor Who?
Dr. Pepper, Dr. Doolittle, or Dr. Who? I've actually never watched Doctor Who, so I don't really know anything about him. Does he time travel? Is that his thing?
Yeah, that is the time travel dude, yeah.
He's got it's Doctor Who, because that's one of my obsessions is time travel. I want to go back and meet everyone I know as a child.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Right? Like, what were you like when you were 10?
Yeah, because people say things like, oh, I was a little so-and-so when I was younger, and you're like, really?
Some people I feel like have probably always been who they are. And that would be interesting too.
Yeah, yeah. People say I haven't changed much, but I don't know. In some ways.
I'm gonna check. I'm gonna go check on people with Doctor Who.
That's not bad actually, yeah. That'd be because it you could go anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Be super cool.
But, I suppose the only thing important is what you've known in your life, in essence, really, isn't it? It's more important than any other time in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, going back, the photos I could take.
Oh, God.
Right?
I think time travel would be amazing in that sense, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the giant trees that used to be here. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I read that it was, I think, in Northern California, they logged a giant sequoia, and it was 24 feet circumference. Or
wow.
Diameter, maybe the diameter. Basically, they turned the stump into a ballroom dance floor. And they had a 16-piece orchestra or band or something up there, and like 30 people up there dancing on this giant sequoia tree stump.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Right? I know. I could try and travel to that party.
God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should trademark our idea for here as well, just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah, I think we should, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
time travel photography, let's get it. Yeah. So in the future, we get the trademark, we protect our heirs, sorted.
Yeah, done.
We've basically sorted so many problems tonight, it's unbelievable.
We solved quite a bit. I'm proud of us.
I just don't know why we didn't think of this earlier. And I mean, world leaders, we're here, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, just call us anytime.
Yeah. Solid. Well, thank you so much for being a spot and going through those questions with me.
Yeah, of course.
What I'd like you to do is, if you want to tell everybody where to check out your work.
So my website is my name, just teresameyer.com. And I'm actually going to be teaching, or I am teaching some courses with smarter phone photography. So if you're interested in learning from me, go there. I'm on Instagram, and I am also on Facebook. It's just Teresa Meyer Photo on Facebook and Teresa Meyer Creative on Instagram. Okay. And I'm on Twitter, but I don't really get on there that much. So yeah, I could use some more followers.
No, that's cool. I'll put all that in for the show notes for everybody so they can see that for you. And then my last question is, I do this, obviously, this pay it forward scheme, as you know, being introduced by Jonah. Who would you like me to check out?
So I'm going to copy Jonah. I have a few people in mind, and I would also like to send them over to you. A couple that I just found. A woman in Iceland, I believe. And then some old colleagues, favorites, people and fans of. So I've got a little list that I've started, and I will send that along. Yeah.
No, thank you for that. Well, I think it's important because for me, this makes it a better experience, because if there's someone you know, then I know you wouldn't put me in touch with someone I wouldn't get on with, and you know, vice versa. If you didn't get on with me, I know you wouldn't pass my details on. So,
it works out well.
So in the morning, you'll be suing me for all these trademark ideas. I know. I invented it. No, you did.
No. It was a group effort.
It's a group effort, yeah. Mm-hmm. Says the person who steals it all.
No, I promise. I'll give you credit. Don't worry.
Isn't that what Steve Jobs said? I'm sure he said something like that. Yeah.
I mean, photographers, we work for credit, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Christ, yeah. We don't get paid, do we?
No. It's a myth. Oh, actually, I will be on Skillshare too shortly.
I've seen that site.
Yeah, they're really cool. I'm developing a course for them right now on building portfolio books. So if anyone's interested in learning about that.
Yeah, it's always useful because I think there's a lot of elements of photography that we don't know enough about, and that's another one. I think people like Eileen have talked to me about statements, whether it's a project statement or an artist statement, mm-hmm. and then others have talked about getting creative critiques. And these are all areas I've not thought about. So,
it can be a lot to think about and to figure out, and you know, you get your body of work done, but then you've still got to package it and get it ready and get your artist statement in there, and getting ready for portfolio reviews or different things like that. It can be just a lot of stuff that you may not have considered.
Yeah, because I think my idea for an artist statement, Jonah said, that's pretty good, Andy, but I think you really need to write something important, because I just said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm bloody useless. I don't know why you're looking at this.
No.
You said, be honest.
There's something going on in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've managed to articulate something that sounded all right anyway.
Good. Yeah, you know what? It's always a work in progress. I've rewritten mine a million times. It's just like, this is how it is today. It's something you revisit constantly, because, you know, as you just kind of evolve and grow, then your artist statement should too.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something I'll think about a lot more seriously now, without a doubt. And it's only through talking to people like yourself, so I'm ever so thankful, sort of thing.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining, Teresa. It's been an absolute hoot. It really has.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so glad you got in touch. And yeah, this has been great. I've had a lot of fun. And oh, we solved a lot of problems, so I mean, you're welcome, world.
Exactly, yeah. I will go out and check outside tomorrow in case there's any fans and media watching for us, you know.
Good idea. But
I will say, well, I did have a partner who helped me, a small part, but you know.
Okay, I'm going to start working on the time travel booth, so get that going.
I wonder if it'll come up in one of your pictures now, because you know, now that it's set in your
mind. Now it's in there.
And obviously, if it's something you've thought about in the past.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be interested if it ever does pop up.
I actually do have a photograph of one of those old phone booths, and I have been waiting. I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
Ooh. Uh-huh. Well, I think it's something. Is it one of the UK ones? Is it the blue police box ones?
No, it's red.
Oh, it's the red. Oh, so it's just a modern phone box. Right, okay, yeah. I think there's such a powerful thing for this country. I mean, they're obviously going to... They're practically all gone now, but there's still quite a lot of them around. So I think it could be an interesting idea. I think it's iconic, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree. It's stuff like that that's fun to mess around with and put in things. And it's like, all right, what am I going to get into now? It's outlived its use. Now what am I going to use it for?
I can see it as a submarine in water.
Yes. Okay.
Or an underwater hotel or something, like a hotel for fish or something. I just see where your mind works. And you're in a little submarine just traveling to it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm definitely obviously I will be following your work anyway, so it'd be nice if I ever see you.
I'll get in touch when I work this out.
That'd be really cool. I'm gonna disappear to bed. It's 10 o'clock here.
Okay, well, it's great talking with you.
No, I really appreciate your time, Teresa. It's really nice that you take time out of your day for me like that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I will be telling Jonah how much I'm thankful to him as well. So you take care.
You too. Thanks so much,
Andrew. Let you know. I'll put you an email in a couple of days and we'll talk then if that's all right.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. For sure.
Great stuff. Right, I will see you again soon.
Okay. Have a good
day. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, y'all, just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to that episode. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed interviewing. Please don't forget, if you want to get involved, I'm starting to put out there on social media the list of guests for that week. You are welcome to submit any questions you want to ask, and hopefully I'll read them out for you. Whether you want to do that through Instagram, direct message, you can just click, if you click on the direct message bit, there's a button there and you can record and send that right across. But there's many apps you can do, or email me, or send me a DM on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. That's cool with me. For those of you who want to support the show, please don't forget, iTunes reviews are always appreciated. And obviously I will read them out the following week for you. And I tend to use them on social media. So that's all very much appreciated. If you'd like to help contribute towards the show, then don't forget there's my Ko-fi page where you can submit anything from $1, pounds or upwards, and I'll keep a note on there what I'm trying to achieve.
as the months and years go by. For those who want to keep coming back to the show, don't forget you can just subscribe in your friendly podcast app of choice. And there's a weekly newsletter on my website, flogger.co.uk. So that's PHLOGGER. And you'll get an automated email from me, and that tells you each week what's gone up on the website. So it's the podcasts and any articles I've wrote. So yeah, thank you so much, and I'll see you again soon. Bye.